In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee with thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the Holy Innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, for sinful me. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth, O Lord. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou heavenly friend, be thou always near us with thy help and comfort as we struggle with those things which seem bitter to us in this world of sin and misery. When our faith weakens and fails us, dear Lord, stretch forth thy gracious hand and grant us thine aid. Let not Satan or our sinful flesh cause us to murmur and complain, but find all the comfort and encouragement we need day by day in thy holy word. O thou that livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 6 through 13, and reads as follows. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Here endeth the epistle lesson. We should now sing hymn 447. Thank you. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 9, and reads as follows. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as this is found on page 22 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, was crucified for us, Pontius Pilate. Suffered and was buried, the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets, and I am believe one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the second epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, and reads as follows. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, the Bible describes us Christians as being strangers and pilgrims here on earth because our real home is not here but in heaven. So really, we Christians should not get so wrapped up with earthly matters. That does not, however, mean that we should neglect at all the responsibilities that God gives us here on earth. Even though our lives could end at any time, the world could end at any time, that should not cause us to be lazy or unproductive in the work that God has given us to do here on earth. As the Apostle Paul says in our text for today, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Yes, even though the world might end tomorrow or even today, as long as the Lord gives us life, we should be using the time that God has given us faithfully, working diligently in the earthly calling that he has set before us, no matter what tomorrow might bring. The thing that makes you and me, and Christians in general, ready for death or for Christ's return on the last day is saving faith in Christ Jesus, through whom we have our innumerable sins and transgressions forgiven on account of his perfect fulfillment of all God's commandments and his innocent suffering and death on the cross as our substitute, the ransom for our sins. Accordingly, being ready for the return of the Lord means being in the faith, which must also then mean continuing steadfastly in his word, because it is through his word that our faith is built up and preserved. This is vitally important, that we allow the Holy Ghost to continue to strengthen us in the faith through his word against all the attacks of our spiritual enemies. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text for today, give careful consideration to what we should do as we wait for Christ's return. In the first place, we should make God's word our top priority. Secondly, we should do our work faithfully. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Because we Christians understand and appreciate all the blessings that God gives us through His Word, we naturally want other people, the unbelievers, to share those same blessings. So we want the Word of God to be spread and heard and received in believing hearts throughout the world. Accordingly, we see in the first verse of our text that the Apostle Paul asked the Christians in Thessalonica to pray for him and his fellow preachers of the gospel, that the Word of God would indeed spread and bring about good fruit in the hearts of the hearers. We read, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." As the word of God had been received into believing hearts among the Thessalonian Christians, it was Paul's desire that many more people would be brought to the faith, all to the glory of God's rich grace in Christ Jesus. It is a good, godly desire, so it is obviously something that all of us should pray for. The enemies of the gospel have the exact opposite goal. Their goal is to destroy faith, prevent people from hearing the word of God and being brought into the saving Christian religion. So then, following Paul's request in our text that the Christians pray for him and his fellow missionaries in spreading the word, he also asked them to pray that their enemies would be thwarted, that God would deliver them from those enemies. We read, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable," which in the Greek literally means improper, "perverse, and wicked men. For all men have not faith." In fact, most people don't have the saving Christian faith. They're hostile towards it. Yes, we Christians are greatly outnumbered by our spiritual enemies here on earth. And yet, we still have no need to fear, because the Lord God of heaven and earth is with us, and He is faithful to all of His promises, and He has given us many glorious promises for us to take comfort in, for our protection. As we also find in the next verse of our text, where we read, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish," which means strengthen, "you, and keep you from evil." The fact that God is faithful means He'll keep all of His promises. So that should give us the greatest confidence when we're reading His inspired word. God always keeps His word. Yes, that applies to all the promises He's given us for our physical protection here on earth. But in the next verse of our text, we see St. Paul applying this to confidence that the Lord would preserve the Thessalonians in their faith and also in the fruits of faith, godly living, following God's commands. We read, "And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." As Christians, according to their new man, those Thessalonians would show that the word of God was top priority for them by diligently following the word as they had received it from the apostles. Such a godly dedication to God's word is not motivated by fear of punishment or by the thought of earning God's blessings, but is produced by the gospel of God's rich love in Christ Jesus. And we see that brought out in the next verse of our text, where Paul writes, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Yes, as they patiently waited for the coming of Christ Jesus on the last day, they were to have their hearts directed into the love of God, as this is so beautifully set forth in the gospel, which should always be a Christian's chief focus. And that love of God moves us to follow His commandments. The Bible says this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, the commandments of God set forth His requirements and prohibitions, telling us clearly what to do and what to avoid doing. And as our text continues, we see that one of the things that God tells us not to do is to have religious fellowship with those who are no longer in the faith. They may have been part of our fellowship, but are no longer brethren. We read, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Notice here that the disobedient one is referred to as a brother. So this is someone who was regarded as a fellow Christian. It wasn't someone who was never part of the faith. But now, that brother is described as walking disorderly, not following the Lord, not following the teachings of the apostles. And the Greek tense of the verb here for walketh is the present continuous tense. So it's describing one who is continually walking in sin without repentance. The Christians are here told to withdraw themselves from such a disobedient person who is refusing to repent, but simply living in open sins. In this way, we Christians not only show ourselves to be different than the hypocrites, but we also show that maintaining the purity of God's word, in both doctrine and practice, is top priority for us. It's more important than maintaining a close friendship with someone who maybe used to be a close brother in the faith, but now no longer is, because he's separated himself from the Christian fellowship. The Apostle Paul and his co-laborers in the gospel had not only taught the Christians in Thessalonica what to do, what to believe, but they had also demonstrated a truly consistent Christian life while they were living among the believers there. They put their teachings into practice. So the Thessalonians, who remembered how Paul and his fellow preachers conducted themselves, could follow their pattern of good works. And the way our text directs our thinking is especially to their example of hard work, being diligent and faithful in their service to the Lord and their congregation. We read in our text, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." This is not to say that Paul and his fellow missionaries never sinned when they were among the Thessalonians. But they did behave themselves well. They behaved themselves as consistent Christians should. They didn't scandalize the Christian religion by living in gross open sins. One of the ways they showed their love of God was by working so tirelessly in the congregation. And the Christian laymen in Thessalonica could remember how Paul worked so energetically. Accordingly, he says in our text, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught," which means they were not leeches on the congregation in Thessalonica. No, they supported themselves, going above and beyond doing just their work of preaching the gospel. He continues in our text saying, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." Now, the word that's translated as chargeable here is more literally burdensome in the original Greek. Paul worked hard day and night in order not to be a burden on them. He didn't even take monetary support from them. He had the right to receive such support. He makes that point in the first part of verse 9, where he says, "Not because we have not power." No, they had the power, the right to demand financial support from the Thessalonians, but they chose not to use that power, that right, for the reason that he explains in the second half of verse 9. but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. So they considered it important not to exercise their right to demand financial support from the Thessalonians, because they wanted to provide them a good example, an exemplary example of conduct in hard work, working day and night so tirelessly among them. And as our text continues, we see that the Apostle Paul transitions from talking about the good example of the Christian missionaries to how that example should be followed in the congregation in Thessalonica. We read in the next verse, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work," which means does not want to work, "neither should he eat." Laziness is here condemned. It's not the inability to work, but the refusal to work when man does have the ability, but simply chooses not to because of the laziness of his flesh. That person who simply doesn't want to work, but takes advantage of the generosity and hard work of others, is definitely sinning. And we're told here in our text, such a person should not even be given food. Now that might sound harsh and unloving, but it's not. It's not cruel. It's not unloving. It's the exact opposite, actually. Giving such a lazy individual continued food only promotes his sinful lifestyle. But withholding food in such a case forces the person to amend his ways, to fight against and overcome his fleshly laziness, which is obviously what's truly beneficial for him. Yes, such laziness in and of itself is a sin, violating seventh commandment principles, but it also easily leads into other sins too. As the common saying goes, an idle mind is the devil's playground. And in the next verse of our text, we see that the sin of laziness is connected also to another specific sin, namely being busybodies. We read, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." There is an interesting connection here between those two sins, being lazy and being a busybody in other people's business. The one sin very often leads to the other. Whereas the person who is staying busy doing good work doesn't have time to poke his nose into the personal affairs of others. The person who's lazy, oh, he has a lot of time. And he sadly often uses that time by injecting himself into the private affairs of others. Being a busybody in other men's matters is a sin commonly practiced by the children of this world. And to our shame, it is also found among Christians because of their flesh. So you and I may also be tempted to snoop around in other people's business, into their personal lives. But that's not proper. It's not proper for Christians to act like detectives and pry into the personal affairs of others, to uncover interesting tidbits of information just to satisfy our nosy curiosity, or to supply some bits of gossip. Especially if a person has asked us to respect his privacy, we should honor that request and not violate it by becoming a busybody in his personal matters. We should be so very thankful that we have the cleansing blood of Christ to cover and cancel out all of our sins against God and our neighbor. And the rich grace of God in Christ Jesus should move us to grow in love for God and our neighbor, reflect that love in our lives. And one of the ways we do that is by focusing on our own business, doing the work that God has given us to do. earning under his blessing our daily bread. Thus Paul writes in the next verse, saying, "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness, not gossiping, they work and eat their own bread." Sadly, one of the things that the devil is often successful in getting Christians to do is to become weary, tired, upset with the work that God has given them. And so we read in the last verse, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." This is one of two places in the New Testament where we are told not to become weary or tired in doing good. And it's easy because of our sinful flesh and because of the devil and the world around us to get tired and upset when it comes to doing good, especially when we don't see benefits coming to us, earthly benefits coming to us from such work. So the important instruction in the last verse of our text is something we definitely need to remember and focus upon. Do the good work that God has given you to do. Don't grow weary or tired and stop. And may we all thus benefit from the inspired instruction given us by the Apostle Paul in our text, so that we strive diligently to follow his good Christian example in our lives out of love for the Savior, thus providing also a good Christian example for others to follow. For Christ's sake, amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We thank thee, O Lord, for all thy great blessings of body and soul, and we pray that thou wouldst bless these offerings, which we now place before thee to thy glory. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who searchest all hearts and knowest all thoughts, whose eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, grant us now as we approach the throne of thy grace true humility and repentance. According unto thy tender mercies, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, pardon all our iniquities. Lead us not into temptation, but, and if thou dost permit it, strengthen us by thy power to withstand it in the evil day, and by thy providence overrule it, that we may be delivered from the reach of the tempter's arm. Glorify thy name in all the earth, and send forth men to proclaim the gospel with wisdom, love, and boldness, so that multitudes out of every nation shall call upon thy name and be saved. And to this end, bless our seminary for the training of such true Christian pastors that in the years to come thy word may still be proclaimed among us in all its truth and purity for the edifying of Christ's holy people and for the instruction of many unto life everlasting. We ask thee mercifully to keep Pastor Leitz and Pastor David T. Menzing in thy fatherly care. Bless them in body, mind, and spirit, so that they may, if it be thy will, continue serving thee and their congregations as faithful ministers of thine and stewards of thy mysteries. We pray for all who may be suffering in body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in any physical or spiritual danger, for all who feel in special need of thy help. We especially remember our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Be thou present with them in all their afflictions. Show them thy great love in Christ Jesus and save them for thy mercy's sake. Dearest Father, graciously grant these and all other acceptable petitions which thou readest in our hearts for Jesus' sake, in whose name we also now pray for our communicants. Dear Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with a garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing the second verse of hymn 401.